Welcome to the message segment of Element of Carry Center International. Listen and be blessed.
Praise Master Jesus. Our God is good. And all the time. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. Welcome your brother, your sister sitting by you. Tell him or her you're welcome to today's meeting. Are you ready to receive a word from the Lord? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we are approaching Easter. By the weekend, we'll be celebrating the victory at the cross. Hallelujah. I was studying and a scripture came to my spirit. And the Lord began to minister a few things to me concerning that verse. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes there are some attitudes that we exhibit or that we display without having to know the weight or the gravity of the things that we do. Hallelujah. If I should ask us a question, how many of us love God? How many of us love God? I believe everyone in this sanctuary will lift up his or her hand in affirmation, right? Hallelujah. True that many believers love God. But sometimes out of pressure, societal pressure I mean, out of fear, out of rejection, we do certain things that separates us, that put a mark of demarcation between our lives and our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Now we are in an era where Christianity is being fought, where the world sees you as an old-fashioned person when you say that I'm a believer, I'm a born again. Glory to God. And so sometimes they make the gospel look unnecessary, foolish, or outdated. Glory to God. And many of us shy away from it. But the scripture makes me to understand that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And it says to us that believe, it is the power of God. Praise the Lord. Yet, from the same scripture, there was one man that boldly declared his allegiance to Jesus, despite the fact that in his era, Christians were being persecuted. Christians were being killed. Glory to God. And this man wrote a letter to the Roman Empire, a city that valued power, influence, education, and status. I'll be ministering to us on a topic, be not ashamed. Tell your neighbor, do not be ashamed. Speak it with all conviction, do not be ashamed. I'd like you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. When I read this verse, I began to have some ministration. And I found myself also wanting. Praise the Lord. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. So it means that there's no discrimination. All that it takes is for you to believe. It says, I am not ashamed. a bold declaration in a time of persecution. And I believe we're in that era. Praise the Lord. I believe that we have gotten to the era where you're being persecuted for being identified with Christ or paying allegiance with Christ. Hallelujah. Now, the scripture is telling us as believers to stand boldly for Christ without apology. Say, stand boldly. What does it mean to be ashamed? To be ashamed is to feel embarrassed. To be ashamed means to hide your association with something or with someone. To be ashamed means to avoid being identified with something. From the Greek translation, it means disgrace. It means embarrassment. It means being confused about something. Praise the Lord. Now let's relate it to our walk with Jesus. Being ashamed of the gospel means being afraid to talk about Jesus Christ. It means hiding your Christian identity. It means compromising your faith so that you can fit in. Praise the Lord. And Jesus gave a warning. Jesus gave a warning in the book of Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Shall we go there? Mark 8, 38. Jesus warned about being ashamed of him. He says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, in this generation where idol worship, building altars has become the order of the day." He says, "Of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed." That's the consequence. When he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Hallelujah. A generation where we have entangled ourselves with idols, with different strange gods that is consuming us without us knowing. He says, "If you are ashamed of me, I too will be ashamed of you." Praise the Lord. So from this scripture, I have an understanding that there are two categories of believers. Those who openly, boldly profess Jesus. And those who are ashamed to be identified with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I have an understanding that your Christian life will be defined by whose side that you're on. It says that the power of the gospel produces the power of God. Hallelujah. Now we're referred to as the bride of Christ. So let me play a gentle scenario for us. If a married man, a man who is married, everyone knows he is married, but when he wants to go to work or go out, he takes off his wedding ring. I know some persons will say, "Oh, I react to metals." But most of the time, this man will take off his ring and pretend like he's not married. But deep down, he knows he's married. A few persons know that this man is married. Hallelujah. Now, when they ask after his wife, he pretends family is fine, not specifically identifying the wife or singling out the wife. Now, what that man is doing is that he's belittling his wife. That man has no value for his wife. Praise the Lord. He has no value whatsoever for that woman he has called his wife. And that's what many of us we do. Many of us take out our spiritual ring and drop it and try not to be identified as a true child of God without us knowing. Praise the Lord. We know that the ring is a public show, a public identification that this man or this woman is married. But a situation when it is not given, or where it's not worn, people assume that you're single. That's what many of us do. Praise the Lord. Jesus is not meant to be a secret. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord took me to the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, the scripture says that there was a conspiracy that came against Daniel because of the favor of God on his life. Because the scripture says that he had an excellent spirit, and so whatever he does, there are no errors, there are no mistakes. And so he found favor with the king. And the people, how can a foreigner find this kind of favor? And then they ganged up against him and wrote a decree, proposed this decree, and sent it to the king, that the king should append his signature, that anyone found not bowing to the king or to their idol should be thrown into the lion's den. And then the king gave an approval. And when Daniel knew about this, Daniel still went into his room, faced the direction of the temple in Jerusalem. The scripture says that he prayed 3 times a day. And this proposed law was to take place in the next 30 days. Why? Because of one man. I pray that every conspiracy against your life will fail. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Daniel began to pray. Irrespective, his windows were open. So he knows, or he knew, that they were going to see him. And they kept watch over Daniel. And they went back to report to the king that Daniel had faltered this law. And the scripture says Daniel was put in the lion's den. Daniel, where am I going? Daniel was not ashamed to be identified with the one true God. If we bring it to today, many of us will close the windows, draw the curtain, and pray silently in our houses. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I pray that every eyes watching you, monitoring you spiritually and physically, will be blinded in the name of Jesus. I remember when I was in Lagos, when I used to enter Molue. If you grew up in Lagos, you will know Molue. Always very crowded and always very noisy. People discuss different matters. People trying to out-talk each other. They talk about politics. They talk about the situation of the economy. They gossip. They talk about different things. But as soon as they see somebody trying to stand up to want to preach the word, all of a sudden, there's this atmosphere that just creeps into the Molue. Some persons will just throw their face outside as if they are watching, counting the cars moving. While some persons will just form sleep. Some persons then, phone was just coming out, will bring is an opportunity to flaunt their phone. They are not making any call. You just see them fiddling with their phone. Why? Because they do not want to listen to what was being preached. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now the question is, why are people very bold to talk about worldly things but are ashamed to hear or to talk about Jesus Christ? Why? We need to ponder about this question, because this was the question that I heard in my spirit. Why are we too ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ, to talk about the gospel? Why? But when it comes to the latest song, the latest fashion, we are quick to demonstrate it. We are quick to learning them. Why? Is it that we do not believe in the finished work of the cross? Or we are too embarrassed to be identified with a deity that no one has ever seen? After all, so many of us say seeing is believing. Because we have not seen this deity, we find it difficult. Some of us just believe it's a myth in our head. They've made us to believe that there's one being called God. Some persons will say that's God there. Hallelujah. But Apostle Paul was bold enough to declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And why was he bold enough? Please turn your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 9. We know the story very well. There's no story we don't know in the scripture. Acts chapter 9, verses 1. I'll read through to 8. Because of the encounter that he had. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Then he was one of the soldiers. Went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were on of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And I was wondering, what could this light be? I began to ask, now this light, from all that I received, was the knowledge of God, was the knowledge of Jesus, was the influence of Jesus, and the presence of Jesus Christ. He received it, and then he fell to the ground. Who can receive such presence and remain normal? And a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? How did he know? This is a capital L, Lord. So he knew that it was Jesus that he had an encounter with. He did not say, who has this voice? Who are you? Show yourself. Because from the scripture, we knew that he was fearless. But instantly, he knew. And so it made sense. I was writing it down. So it made sense that truly it was the knowledge of Jesus that came upon him. It was the presence of Jesus Christ that came upon him. It was the knowledge of him, the influence of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Hallelujah. It is hard for you to kick against the gods. So he, trembling and astonished, surprised, how could I have heard this same man that I'm going to persecute people? He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. They heard the voice of Jesus, but Jesus did not reveal himself to them. And so they were still in darkness, not knowing what had happened. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. Praise the Lord. Now, he had an encounter. He didn't need anybody to come to preach to him. He didn't need anybody to tell him. He already, because he was well schooled, so he knew about our Lord Jesus Christ. He knew he had an encounter. So he was convinced in his spirit what had happened to him. Praise the Lord. And so he knew that the gospel was not just a message. He knew it wasn't just what was written in a book, as some of us will say. It was written years ago. Praise the Lord. He knew that it was the power of God that he had an encounter with. Praise the Lord. He understood that it was that encounter that transformed his life. So he knows, or he knew, that it is indeed the power of God. So he had the power to save. He had the power to break every kind of addiction. He had the power to break every kind of affliction. He has the power to heal. Because he knew what he's capable of doing. And if at that one instant he could change, be transformed, he knew it wasn't just a book. He knew he had an encounter. He knew that the gospel of Jesus is indeed the power of God. Glory to God. Jesus, thank you. And then he says, the scripture says, that for whoever that believes in this gospel of Jesus, he knew that it was a means to save humanity, to save mankind. Glory to God. So it doesn't matter whether you are rich. It doesn't matter whether you are poor. It doesn't matter whether you are educated. It doesn't matter whether you are not educated. It doesn't matter. As long as you believe in the gospel of Jesus. What is this gospel? The gospel, according to the Greek translation, is the good news. It is about Jesus and the salvation that he brought to man. Many of us celebrate Easter year in, year out as a routine. We celebrate Easter. We are looking forward to Easter. But do we truly understand the power of God that is written as a book unto us, as the gospel? Praise the Lord. I know that the scripture tells me in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no other name than Jesus. You know, the funniest thing is that the gospel that many of us are ashamed to preach is the same gospel that carries the power that we are praying for. The same gospel that we are so ashamed to preach, yet we pray for dumbfounding miracles. I want to have power. It is the same gospel that produces that power. Hallelujah. We all have phones. It's not new. If you don't have phone, it's as if you are out of this world. You are an alien. If you don't have a phone, it's like you're cut off from everything that is happening. Just imagine that you're on your phone, you're TikToking, you're demonstrating, you're Facebooking, you're there on other social platforms, and then your battery, you realize that it has run down, maybe 5% or even 1%. What do? We are looking for, we are running up and down. We are looking for charger. We are looking for power bank. We are not ashamed to ask for power bank. We are not ashamed to ask, do you have type C charger? You don't even know the person. You don't know the person, but you go and ask this person for charger. You go and ask for a power bank. Why? You don't want that power to run off completely so you don't get cut off. Isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, apply this energy. Apply it to the gospel. Apply it to the gospel. There are so many persons around you that are feeling hopeless. There are so many persons that are brokenhearted. There are so many contemplating suicide. There are so many persons just wanting to hear the word, Jesus loves you. You carry the power. You decide to keep the power. You decide to hide the power. You have the cure for so many persons. You're like a doctor or a researcher that has made a research, having the medicine. And yet, because you are afraid, what if they say it doesn't work? What if they say, what if they laugh at me and you decide to sit on that medicine? People will be dying. All you'll be saying, I know, I have this thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Apply that same energy. And you realize that that same power that you've been praying for has been inside of you, yet to be utilized. Hallelujah. We are the source of the power that so many persons are looking for. We are the source of the power. But we chose to be quiet. We chose to be silent. We are afraid of what people will think. The gospel is the power of God. So if you have power, why are you hiding it? Ask your neighbor, why are you hiding the power? Why are you hiding the power? One thing you do not understand is that boldness activates power. The boldness that Apostle Paul has and exhibits is what makes Apostle Paul fearless. And that the power of God works through him effortlessly, because he is bold to witness Jesus. Hallelujah. Whether you're in church, whether you're in your office, may Jesus not become as a secret in your mouth. Psalm 40, verse 9. Psalm 40. Oh. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness, of justice, in the great assembly. This is David boldly speaking. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. Oh Lord, you know me. 10. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Hallelujah. So how many of us can boldly say, Lord, you know that I have not restrained my lips. How many of us can boldly proclaim the gospel? How many of us can boldly come out to say, I spoke to one person, two persons this week about Jesus? Even those of us in the evangelical units. How many of us, we just believe that evangelical unit is just to invite people to church? How many of you have taken time to tell someone about the good thing that God is doing in your life? I'll take you somewhere. Hallelujah. David is saying in this scripture that he's not ashamed to witness about God. He says, in the midst of the assembly, I have not held my tongue. I have not closed my mouth. I have talked about the wondrous things, the signs and the wonders that you have done. How many of us, if you're truly a believer, you'll be bold to identify with Jesus Christ. You'll be bold to live a righteous life publicly. Not a double standard life that many of us live. We'll be bold to share the gospel. You know, it's very easy to talk about people's song. Sometimes, pastor will say, you know how to tell stories. We know how to give a vivid description of a film, of a scenario that we have witnessed. We know how to analyze the women. We know how to analyze style. That the tailor must know what you are talking about. And then when we want to gossip here, we know how to gossip and add the sweetener on it. So why not the gospel? What is the big deal about the gospel? We read a novel and we begin to tell people, I'm reading this very interesting novel. The people inside this novel, this man, this woman, this boy, will begin to describe, talk about the novel. We read the Bible and yet we cannot talk about the characters, the works inside the Bible. Hallelujah. If you're truly a believer, you will stand for truth. No matter the pressure. That little girl that was kidnapped, all the torture. She said, I will not denounce my faith. She wasn't afraid to die. She wasn't afraid to die. We've not even seen that kind of pressure. We are quick to say, okay, make a no go church. I know go church. Man, no read the Bible. I know read the Bible. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The church of God is silent. That was how silent I was. Because sometimes, when I begin to hear certain things, I put myself in it to appraise myself. I also found myself wanting in it. Praise the Lord. We know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Daniel chapter 3. We know the story. They were not ashamed of their God. Have they had one-on-one encounter with God? No. They only read, they were only taught the signs and the wonders of God by their forefathers, by prophets. And they understood the power that is in this being that no one has seen. They were not ashamed. They were not ashamed to be identified with him. Just as you have not seen God, they too did not see God, but they held on to what was taught them. They held on to what they read. They held on to the stories the prophet told them, to the prophecies that the prophet gave to them. They held on to it. And when in the face of adversity, bow down to this God that I have created, or you'll be thrown into the burning furnace. And they said, we trust in the God that we serve, that he's able to deliver us from that fire, deliver us from even the king's hand. So we are not afraid. We are not afraid. The scripture says they were thrown into the fire, heated 7 times, that the people that threw them inside died. They melted away. How much more they that were bound every part of their body. They could not move. They bound them and threw them inside that fire. They were not ashamed of their God. And what happened? The same God preserved their lives. The same God protected them. He came and shielded these three men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What are the reasons why we are ashamed of the gospel? By the time we give these reasons, you will know that many of you are ashamed to be identified with Jesus. You will know. Number one, the fear of rejection. People fear to be mocked by their friends, by their colleagues or society. I know I've said this before. Someone looked at me and said, you be pastor. And laughed because she knew while I was growing up. And she laughed. Say, hey, if you be pastor. A very sarcastic laugh. I also laughed with her because I didn't know why she was laughing. And I had the understanding that a prophet is not honored in his hometown. And I was in my hometown. Praise the Lord. Now you are afraid to speak about Jesus. Sometimes the first thing that comes to your mind, what if they laugh at me? What if they don't answer me? What if I lose my friend? What if I lose this relationship? What if they ask me questions that I cannot answer? What if I misquote the scripture? What if I go jam person when a Bible scholar? I beg, I know they go. So instead of speaking, you rather be quiet. Now that silence is how shame grows. Shame of the gospel. Through that silence. The fear of rejection is what has created that silence for you. I wrote something here. When rejection becomes your fear, people's opinion becomes your mirror. Hallelujah. When rejection becomes your fear, people's opinion become your mirror. Before you go out, you have to think about what people will say. They are the mirror that you look before you go out. You already have rejected what you're going to do. Hallelujah. It is a fear of rejection that brings about the compromise that we prayed about. Agreeing to the things that you know are wrong. Living differently in the church and outside. Laughing at jokes that dishonors God. You know, yes, I just remember something. There was a day I was looking into our page. And then I saw a dove and somebody climbed on the dove. So it caught my attention. I said, how did this person, I was not talking to myself, this AI self is doing something in this world though. And then I looked at it and I saw Holy Ghost challenge. And I'm like, Holy Ghost challenge? Let me see how this Holy Ghost challenge works. We make mockery of the things of the Spirit. Even those that say they are believers. So how, if you as a believer, every Sunday, every meeting day, every service day, you dress up, you go to church, get yourself involved in Holy Ghost challenge. Do you not know what you're doing? You are mocking the place of the Holy Spirit. It has become a game to us. How then can you witness Jesus Christ when you are even mocking it? How can you? How can people take you serious? How? Holy Ghost challenge. Believers, Christians. Trivializing the place of the Godhead. Because we must trend. Is it everything that comes out as a child of God that you must do? Is it every trend that you must get yourself involved in? And then when things are not working, you are binding and casting a demon. Believers, how can you witness Jesus when you are making mockery of him in the third place of the Godhead? How? Hallelujah. Little by little, we begin to hide our identity. Praise the Lord. You know, there was a prayer we prayed sometime in the dynamos. We say, oh Lord, place your divine approval upon my life for an unusual acceptance. We prayed that prayer. And the Lord brought my consciousness back to that prayer. And when the Lord began to minister, say, hey, we have prayed amiss. Divine approval of the Lord for an unusual acceptance when we even reject him. I heard that in my spirit. I felt cold. I felt cold. That's why I said many of us do certain things without even knowing the weight or the gravity of what we do. Hallelujah. Another is the desire to fit into the world. James chapter 4, verse 4. It warns that friendship with the world can make you an enemy of God. Adulterers and adulteresses. Why did he start with this? Why did James start with this? An adulterous and sinful generation. We all are raising idols. We all are building strange altars. Fraternizing with other gods. He says it's not a man or a woman that is married. It's you and I. The things that we do. The things that we have occupied our hearts with. The things that we have used to replace God. Says adulterers. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So trying to fit into the world as a believer, it only pulls you away. What does it do? It makes you hide your true identity. And then you become a selective Christian, a passive Christian. When you're found in the midst of brethren, you behave as one. When you are out, I beg, I know they behave like the Romans because you are in Rome. Behave where you found yourself, behave like that. Praise the Lord. Easter is coming. We need to have an understanding of that sacrifice. In church, you become very loud and expressive. But outside, you're very reserved. You're very quiet about your faith. You'll choose to represent Christ. Instead of living for him, you begin to edit your life. You begin to edit your life. Without you knowing what you are doing. You still love God though. But the way they edit videos, the way they edit films, that's how you begin to edit your life. So that you can fit in. So that people don't start laughing at you. So that this one no open eye. This one are old fashioned. This one. Hallelujah. One thing you need to understand is that you cannot blend with the world and still burn for God. That's what the scripture says when Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't blend with the world and still say I'm a vibrant Christian. You know, fit. The two cannot work together. Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:2, say, do not be conformed to the world. Now, you trying to fit in requires confirming. You conform to the world. And conformity, it tells or it weakens your conviction. When you are trying to confirm, you begin to compromise. Even you know the power that is in the gospel, but because you begin to, you see less of it in your own life. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I have heard somebody that say, this one too they do spirit coco. It's too spiritual. It too do self. They show itself. You know, comments like that is what sometimes makes some believers shy away. But why should you shy away when they say you are spirit coco? Why should you shy away? That's why I said that conformity weakens your conviction. That's why I said that. Hallelujah. You begin to tone down your faith to maintain an image that people will clap for. Hallelujah. Okay. Silence in the face of truth is a form of denial. You know the truth. You keep quiet. You're denying the truth. Lack of conviction. Like I said earlier, it was conviction that kept Apostle Paul in the faith. Conviction is strengthened by encounter and experience. It was conviction that made me accept my calling. It was conviction. I kept running. You've heard me talk about it several times. I kept running. I don't want to be on the altar. I just want to serve God in my own way. That's all I want to do. But it was conviction that made me, forced me, as in forced Apostle Paul. I told us that my mom will call me Paulina. I had seen all manner. Conviction made me accept the call. That's why sometimes when I talk, I tell you, I know what I am saying. Because I have seen it. I have seen God's power. I have seen Him move in different dimensions. The truth about it, many of us that say we are believers don't have encounters. We are not convicted by the word. Some of us, our hearts are so hardened, not until God comes down to us that we believe what is being preached. Because how do you explain? We talk about fornication. We talk about tithes. We talk about so many things. The next moment you leave this door, the next thing that you are doing is falling back to the same thing that you heard. It means you have not been convicted yet. You will just bear the name, the title, I'm a believer. Anybody will ask you, are you a born again? I'm a born again because I go to church. Church is quiet. Hallelujah. When someone truly experiences God, salvation and transformation becomes real. It becomes real. Transformation becomes undeniable. You won't even know. You just see yourself dropping certain things. You just see yourself walking in the path that people will begin to, what's wrong with you now? You begin to hate the things that used to give you joy. You hate them. When you're not deeply convinced about the gospel, you become silent about it because you can't boldly defend what you haven't experienced. You can't. That's why even when you say, I want to join evangelism, because you really have not had a genuine encounter, you don't know what to tell anybody. The scripture is not real to you. The transformation is not showing. You are the one telling people, I gave my life to God last year. You are the one announcing it. I am the head of so and so unit in church. And they study the Bible. No. The things that you do is meant to show. People are meant to see it. They are meant to see it. Hallelujah. You know, when, because we've not really had an encounter, a genuine one, speaking about what you don't know, you're not confident about it. Your confidence, they fail. That's why you say, what if they ask me questions that I cannot? You don't know that when you are going to speak with someone, the Holy Ghost goes ahead of you. It might just be one word that you speak to that person, that person is has been eager to hear without you knowing. Hey, but I've been preaching to this person. This person has not changed. It's not in your place to make that person change. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yours is to talk and go. As long as you have spoken, a seed has been planted. The Holy Ghost knows how to convict his own. He knows. So if you are waiting because I went to talk to somebody, that person must change. That person must listen to me. Sometimes they will abuse you. But the truth about it is, many of us are ashamed to be identified with Christ. That's the bottom line. Apostle Paul says, gospel is the power of God. Without conviction, the gospel becomes a mere message. It becomes a teaching and it becomes religion. And that's what many of us do. Many of us are religious. We are not believers. Hallelujah. Have you seen somebody that carries fire and the person say, let me hide the fire? Have you ever seen it? You carry fire and put under your cloth. You say you want to hide it. Have you seen it? I'm asking. But that's what we do. We carry power and we hide it. We carry fire and we hide it. Would that fire not consume you? That's what is happening to us. What we carry is fighting against us because we are not using it. That's what happens to us, that we begin to bind demon. I'll tell you why I say this. Because when I was running the warehouse, so many things, God was showing me so many things that, look, this is not what I've asked you to build this place for. Instead, I gather my pastoral friends. I gathered them. We started binding and casting the demon. The more we prayed, the more we cast, the tighter it became. The more we prayed, every power that is wrestling, working against this business, die. No sales. Even when we make sales, the boss say, I am the boss. I need this money. The boss will swallow up everything. And then I'll be shouting at my workers then. You people, they are owing us. Go and get my money. They will look at their record and say, ma, nobody is owing us. It is the boss. If they work 400,000, the boss will take 350,000. That same boss that refused to work and produce for me is moving up and down in this town. I parked that boss 2 years in this compound. The Lord showed me all manner. One of my pastor friends came and looked at where the children are occupying. And he said, I see ministry material. I say, hold your peace. There's nothing like ministry material. Now for display of my oil, display of my rice, display of my water. So hold your ministry material. He said, okay. And then I will call him, let us pray. We'll hold hands together. When we finish, you look at me. You sure say this prayer, God don't answer. I say, I'm sure we'll do exploits today. How can I be fighting against what is calling me? That's why I said we carry fire, we close it. That fire will consume you. Praise the Lord, I have to run. I have to run. Had you overcome the shame? Had you overcome the shame about the gospel? God never designed us to carry his power and remain silent about it. Shame about the gospel can be broken and overcome. One, understanding the power of the gospel. Understanding that it's a life-changing power that builds confidence. Because if you are healed of maybe a leg pain, it is that leg pain that you will begin to use to tell people, see, it's God that healed me. I've used every sin. It gives you some sort of confidence and boldness to begin to speak. That's why you need to ask the Lord for an encounter. Once you have that encounter, there's nothing anybody will tell you that would erase your mind, that would shake your mind. Hallelujah. It was that encounter that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. Praise the Lord. They had confidence in the power of God. They had confidence. The shame of the gospel, it comes most of the time because of ignorance and doubt. We doubt a lot. We doubt a lot. Ignorance of the word. And that was why light shone upon Paul, giving him the knowledge, giving him the influence and the presence of God at the same time. The light. That's why he says that the power of God is given to those who believe. So is it that you don't believe what you read or what you hear? Ask yourself that question. Two, develop a deep conviction. Like I said, you cannot boldly defend what you are not deeply convinced about. When you're convinced about something, you are the one that will blow the trumpet. Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed, because he had the encounter personally. Nobody went to preach to him. Nobody. Not until the gospel becomes real to you or personal to you or a life-changing experience, you will still struggle with shame. The third one, depend on the Holy Spirit. Boldness is spiritual empowerment. It's not a personal trait. It's the Holy Spirit that gives it to you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then you shall be witness to me. Acts chapter 4 verse 31 says, and when they prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So you see that boldness comes from the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 22, when Jesus told Peter, don't worry, by the time the cock crows, you deny me three times. Peter said, for where? How can? Was Peter not always with Jesus? How can? Did he not deny Jesus? He did. But that same Peter began to witness about Christ. When they all gathered in the upper room to pray, the Bible says that the power, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then this boldness came, and then they began to speak. They began to minister. Boldness. Pray for boldness. The early church, they didn't pray for comfort. Today, our own Christianity is for convenience and comfort. They didn't pray for comfort. They prayed for boldness. That same Acts chapter 4 verse 29. Can we see that? Acts 4:29. Now Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. Boldness. You pray for boldness. You want to go and talk to somebody, ask the Holy Spirit to go ahead of you. If it's Jesus loves you, that Jesus loves you, he will enlarge it, amplify your voice in the heart of that person. Praise the Lord. Another one is develop true love for people. Not lip service kind of love. Not the love that you share. 1 minute at the back, you're talking down the person. Real, genuine love. If you truly love someone, you will warn the person about the kind of life he or she is living. They'll turn you bad. You will get enemies. But don't stop. It's out of love that sometimes I want people. It is out of love that sometimes I correct people. But today we misinterpret everything into the talk. Is it everything your eyes see that your mouth will speak? Yes, because I love you. Can't you just be quiet? Now your body, now my body, because you're destroying it. It is out of genuine love. You see somebody going astray. It's not eye service kind of love. You see someone going astray. I've gotten to a point. Sometimes I say, I will not say a word anymore. Anything you want to do, do. And then the Lord reminded me, you said, oh my God. Oh, I'm not exempted. Okay. Genuine love. I say, but they're always picking on me. Any little thing, they'll say, this is what I said. Any little thing, they get angry with me. I don't like the way people are getting. Just say the word. That is why you were created. To warn people, to tell them this path they are applying is not my way. You never know that the path you're walking is destruction. Is the person standing by your side that will tell you, see, this your worker, you know, they profitable. Hallelujah. I want us to have an understanding that if Jesus was not ashamed to hang on the cross for you and I, why then are you ashamed to stand or live for him? Remember, he was mocked, he was beaten, he was spat on, crucified publicly, yet he endured it for our salvation. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says he endured the cross, despising all of the shame. If Christ endured shame for us, we must not be ashamed of Christ. Let's not be a generation that will shout and sing on Sunday and on Monday we deny him. Rise to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift up your voice and thank the Lord. Thank you for the knowledge of his word. I know that there has been a moment that we have denied Jesus in our words, in our lifestyle, in our silence. This is the time you ask him. Talk to him. In whatever way you want to speak to him. Like Apostle Paul. Says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Ask the Lord that you want to have an encounter. Just as Paul had an encounter. I want to have a genuine encounter with you. So that the sacrifice of the cross will not be a waste on my behalf, on my account. Talk to him. Jesus. You don't look at me. Talk to him. Jesus. The Lord loves us. And so he brings his word. He brings his word to us. It's not every time we hear the word that will excite our spirit. This is the most important because it's for the salvation of your soul. It is in remembrance of the sacrifice on the cross. He despised all of the shame to give you a public announcement. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was bruised. To give you a better life. To give you an influence.
So God, in places where we hide your grace upon our life, we are sorry. We are asking for your mercy, oh God. Areas where we did not
talk to him. You alone know how you have denied him. You alone knows how you have been ashamed to be identified with him. You alone know whether it's through your lifestyle, whether it's through all those jokes that you put up, or you've been part of the Holy Ghost challenge. You alone know. It is his mercy that prevails. You alone know. The fear of people. Oh, I don't want them to turn me down. I don't want them to laugh at me. I don't want them to say.
Made us to be Jesus' mercy. When we kept quiet, we were hiding.
Open your mouth and talk to him.
Jesus' mercy.
Begin to declare, receive the grace to represent Christ without fear. I receive the grace to represent Jesus without fear.
Jesus, receive the grace to represent you rightly without fear, without rejection, without the little mind of being rejected.
Talk to him.
Mind of being afraid, Jesus.
Begin to ask the Lord for boldness.
Lord, we ask to display the grace and the power that you have given to us, oh God.
The boldness
with your knowledge that you have put inside of us.
Pray that boldness overshadows you.
Receive the grace.
Boldness overshadows you.
The works of the Lord. We receive the
begin to pray. That the gospel will no longer be a secret. You will no longer take away your spiritual ring.
Lord, I receive the grace.
You proclaim, you profess.
My spiritual ring from my hand.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, I receive the grace to constantly put on the garment of my spirituality.
Thank you, Lord.
Declare my faith publicly and proclaim your words publicly.
Father, Lord, I thank you.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, we'll pray.
Amen.
And I pray that every power that causes us to deny Christ Jesus, be it in our words, in our lifestyle, that power breaks now in the name of Jesus. And I declare that we're...
The message you've just listened to was brought to you by Elements of Carry Center International, number 6, Otokutu OPT Road, after Plantation City Estate Fence, OPT. You can worship with us every Sunday, 8 a.m. for our Celebration of Grace service. Wednesdays are for Bible study, 5 p.m. Fridays for prayer and counseling, 9 a.m. Elements of Carry Center International, a place of comfort.